The odd thing was, I wasn't quite sure I believed myself. Something strange happened then, a hard, sharp discontinuity in my thoughts. I was still conscious, still aware of myself sitting in Zebra's cable car, still aware that we were moving through Chasm City at night, and that she had rescued me from Sibylline's little hunting party. I was conscious of the pain in my leg, even though it had abated to a dull throb of highly concentrated discomfort by then. And yet a chunk of Sky Houseman's life had just revealed itself to me. The previous episodes had come during unconsciousness, like orchestrated dreams, but this one had exploded, fully formed, into my mind. The effect was disturbing and disconcerting, interrupting the normal flow of my thoughts like an EMP burst playing momentary havoc with a computer system. The episode, mercifully, was not a long one. Sky was still with Balcazar. Christ, I thought. I was even remembering the names of the supporting characters, still ferrying him across space to the meeting, the conclave, aboard the other ship, the Palestine. What had happened last time? That was it. Balcazar had told Sky about the sixth ship being real, the ghost ship. The one Norquinco had called the Caliuche. By the time he had turned the revelation over in his head, examining it from every angle, they were almost there. The Palestine loomed huge, looking very much like the Santiago. All the ships of the flotilla were built to more or less the same design, but without quite the same degree of discoloration around her rotating hull. She had been much further away from the Islamabad when she went up, the flash of energy weakened by the inverse square law of radiative propagation, until it was barely a warm breeze, rather than the killing flux which had burned the shadow of his mother onto the skin of his own ship. They had their problems, of course. There had been viral outbreaks, psychoses, putches, and as many sleepers had died aboard that ship as aboard the Santiago. He thought of her burdened with her own dead. Cold corpses strung along her spine like rotten fruit. A harsh voice said, "Diplomatic flight TJ-5. Transfer command to Palestine docking network." Sky did as he was asked. There was a jolt as the larger ship hijacked the shuttle's avionics and slotted it onto an approach course, with what felt like minimal concern for the comfort of its human occupants. Projected onto the cockpit window, the approach corridor floated in space, edged in skeletal orange neon. The stellar backdrop began to cartwheel. They were moving in the same rotational frame as the Palestine now, sliding towards an open parking bay. Suited figures in unfamiliar uniforms floated there to greet them, aiming weapons with something that was not quite diplomatic cordiality. He turned to Balcazar as the taxi found a berth. "Sir, we're nearly there." "What? Huh? Damn you, Titus. I was sleeping." Sky wondered how his father had felt about the old man. He wondered if Titus had ever considered killing the captain. It would not, he thought, present insurmountable difficulties. Chapter 19. "Tanner, snap out of it. I don't want you falling unconscious on me." We were approaching a building now, if you could call it that. It looked more like an enchanted tree, huge and gnarled branches pocked with haphazard windows, and cable car landing decks set amongst the limbs. Cableway threads reached through the interstices of the major branches, and Zebra guided us in fearlessly, as if she had navigated this approach thousands of times. I looked down through vertiginous layers of branches, the firelights of the mulch twinkling sickeningly far below. Zebra's apartment in the canopy was near the middle.